Turn in your Bibles to Revelation chapter 5. I'd like to read verses 1 through 10 in Revelation chapter 5. Hear God's word. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed up with seven seals. And I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the book and to break its seals?" And no one in heaven or on earth or under the earth was able to open the book or to look into it. Then I began to weep greatly because no one was found worthy to open the book or to look into it. And one of the elders said to me, "Stop weeping. Behold, the Lion that is from the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has overcome so as to open the book and its seven seals." And I saw between the throne with the four living creatures and the elders a lamb standing as if slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. And he came and he took the book out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth." May God be pleased to bless us in the reading and also in the explanation of his good word. Amen. If you've had a very vivid dream, which I'm sure you probably have sometime in the past, when you have awakened from this dream, you think back on that dream as though you were actually inside of it. It was so real and so vivid. But having awakened from the dream, you realize that the dream was not reality, because there you are. You can pinch yourself and you know that lying there in your bed or in whatever circumstance you are, that that's the reality. And that dream may have been a portrayal of reality. It might have been, but it was not the reality itself, although it seemed so real. And you seem to be in it, as it were. Well, the book of Revelation is like that. It's a book of visions, which are not reality itself, but portrayals of reality. And I think that's one of the things that we need to get into our heads when we dip into the book of Revelation, that these visions are not presentations of reality, but portrayals of reality. They're like these vivid dreams that we have. And in the portion I want us to look at this morning in Revelation chapter 5, verses 8 through 10, the portrayal is one of prayer and of praise. And the prayer and the praise being portrayed is prayer and praise portrayed in the vision? And I think this is one of the things that we need to get. And the part of the lesson that comes out of the vision then is that your prayer and your praise is actually part of the unfolding of the plans and purposes of God. And so you ought to gladly engage in prayer and praise. You see, because your prayer, again, and your praise is part of the unfolding of the plans and purposes of God. It's not as though they were somehow separate. They're actually part of the plan. And as we understand this is the case, I think our prayers and our praise makes a little more sense. And so let's look into our text here in Revelation chapter 5. And we go first of all to verse 8, Revelation 5:8. When he, that is Christ, the Lamb who was slain, when he had taken the book, the text says, Jesus Christ is the one who is able to take the book from the hand of the one who is sitting on the throne. The beginning of Revelation chapter 5. I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a book written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. This was a big scroll, a great scroll, unusual because it was written even as it was rolled up. You could see it was written not only on the inside but on the outside. And I think the scroll represents the plans and the purposes, the decrees of God. This is the plan of God, the purposes of God. And it's perfectly sealed with seven seals. And no one can take the book and unfold the plans of God except one, Jesus Christ. He is the one who comes into the world, and even before he enters the world, is able to break the seals on the book and open and unfold and unravel, as it were, the plans of God. And the interesting thing is, friends, is that you are in the vision. We tend to look at these things like we're watching television, as though it's over there and we're over here. But now look again at verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb. Now, I remember you talking about the four living creatures being angelic beings, and I think so they are. And earlier on, the book of Revelation says they're full of eyes. They're, as it were, all seeing. They are spiritual beings before the throne. But I want to key in on the 24 elders. There are 24 elders, and I think rightly understood to be representative of the church in both the Old Testament and the New Testament. The sons of Jacob, 12, and the 12 apostles, representative of the church in all ages. And not only, you see, representative, but in them, you are there. I think this is part of the point that we need to get. You're part of the script. You're part of the play. You're part of the movie. God is the director, and the cast has set the cast. And you're not excluded You're part of the cast. And so I submit to you, through these 24 elders that are present, you're there. And so this is a vision about you and about your activity. Not just a general thing about the church, but about you as individuals. And not just a general vision about churches in general, but your church is involved here. Rose Point Reformed Presbyterian Church. You're in this vision. Back to verse 8. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. Now these elders, see again, I submit to you that this is a vision. It's a picture of reality. It's not the reality itself. It's a picture of reality. And we get this at the end of verse 8. See, what are the golden bowls full of incense? Well, John tells us. We get a little snippet here, a little interpretation at the end of verse 8, which are the prayers of the saints. So whose prayers are these? They're your prayers. This is what I mean. You're in this vision. These are your prayers that this vision is talking about. And your prayers are likened as incense which comes up before God. And part of the picture is taken from the Old Testament of the holy place and the altar of incense in the holy place, where the priests would go in morning and evening and put incense on that altar. And that's in part your prayers. But it's also the prayers of someone else. I'd like you to look in Revelation. Just turn a couple of pages to chapter 8. Chapter 8. Revelation 8 and verse 3. Another angel came and stood at the altar. So this would be the altar of incense, holding a golden censer. And much incense was given to him, so that he might add it to the prayers of all the saints on the golden altar, which is before the throne. And what is this incense added to your prayers on the golden altar? It's the prayers of Jesus, who intercedes for you. It's His prayer mixed with your prayer, so that it is a sweet-smelling savor that comes before the Father in perfection. St. Augustine tells a nice little story from his childhood to illustrate the intercession of Jesus Christ. He says he would go out and pluck flowers. You know, a little boy, when he plucks flowers and crams them in his hand, they're just all over the place, right? And he would want to give those flowers to his father. But before he would give those flowers to his father, his mother would take those flowers and arrange them in a beautiful bouquet so that they then, in a beautiful bouquet, could be presented to his father. And that's what Jesus Christ does with your prayers and with my prayers. He takes your feeble prayers and my feeble prayers, your imperfect prayers, and he presents them to the Father in perfection. That's part of his intercessory work. And I think that's what Revelation chapter 8 is telling us. And so, as we go back to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, when he, that is Jesus Christ, had taken the book, saying he's the one again who is able to open the book, the four living creatures, the angelic beings, so perfect, fall down and worship him. And the 24 elders also fall down and worship him. And they have these golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints, your prayers, that they present to the Father. But then we see something else in verse 8. What else do these elders have? When he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. You see, again, this is a vision which is a portrayal of reality and not the reality itself. Your prayers are not actually incense or golden bowls full of incense. So there's symbolism here in these golden bowls. So you can picture the elders in this way. In one hand, they have these golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And in the other hand, what do they have? The text tells us, harps. Each one of them has a harp. Now, if the golden bowls are representative of prayer, what are the harps representative of? You see, I think that's the proper question to ask. This is not an apologetic, you see, in the book of Revelation for the use of musical instruments in worship. Sorry. Because we have symbolism here. And just as the golden bowls full of incense are symbolic of prayer, also the harps are symbolic of something. I think that's the proper way to understand the vision. And of what are they symbolic? Well, it seems they're symbolic of song. Because the very next thing that we see in the text is, and they sang, and they sang, and they sang a new song, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain, etc., etc. And so the idea of the harps, which were used in the Old Testament temple in connection with the singing of the psalms, in connection with the sacrifices, here in the book of Revelation, it seems, represent the singing of the people, of the elders. Now we get another clue, I think, in Revelation 14. Turn with me, if you would, to Revelation chapter 14. And you would, I would say that as the incense is your prayers, the harps are not only singing, but they're your singing. This would be part of the idea. Now, look now at Revelation chapter 14. I looked, and behold, the Lamb was standing on Mount Zion, and with him 144,000, having his name and the name of his Father written on their foreheads. Who are the 144,000? The people of God. Here is a great number. And I think this is a representation in the vision of the people of God. How so? They have his name written on them. And they belong to him. That would be the idea. See, they do not have the mark of the beast on them. They have the mark of the Father on them. They are God's people. And what do they do? Well, we better read verse 2 first. And I heard a voice from heaven like the sound of many waters, and like the sound of loud thunder, and the voice which I heard was like the sound of harpists playing on their harps. What was the great sound coming? What did it sound like? It sounded like harpists playing on their harps. Now, I would call your attention to the fact that here there's a little simile with the word like. The sound was like harps. There aren't actual harps here portrayed, but like harps, interestingly enough. And what is this sound? And they sang. They sang a new song before the Lord, or before the throne, and before the four living creatures and the elders. And so what are these harps? Friends, I submit to you, these harps in the book of Revelation, chapter 5 and verse 8, are your singing, your praise before God, just as those golden bowls are your prayers. And so again, you're in the vision. Praise God, this is the case. This is not a vision that we are separated from and somehow look at a distance. But as that vivid dream again, we are there. You are there. Now, what about the singing itself? Look at Revelation chapter 5 once again. And when he had taken the book, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song. Worthy are you to take the book and to break its seals, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, all who you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. What is this song? It is a song of the redeemed. It is a song of redemption. It is the song sung new by the people of God who know the redeeming work of God. Do you remember what the Apostle John said about the Ten Commandments in 1 John? He said, I'm going to give you a new commandment. And he said, but actually, the new commandment is what? An old commandment. It's the same commandment that you had from the beginning. The new commandment is not a different commandment. The new commandment involves the Ten Commandments, just like Moses gave the Ten Commandments on Sinai. And when Jesus came, what did Jesus do? Jesus gave the same commandments when he taught the Sermon on the Mount as the new Moses. He gave the same commandments, only he probed the depth of those commandments. And in a similar way, you see, the song is not necessarily a new song in the sense that it's a different song. In fact, it's the same song of redemption. And in another place in the book of Revelation, you find those who are singing the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb, because the song of Moses and the song of the Lamb is exactly the same song. It's the song of the redemption of God. And how is it that you're capable of singing the song of the redemption of God? Well, I'd ask you to turn again to Revelation chapter 14. And look at what Revelation chapter 14 says in verse 3. And they sang a new song before the throne and before the four living creatures and the elders. And no one could learn the song except the 144,000 who had been purchased from the earth. Who is it? The redeemed learned the song, friends. The redeemed learned the song. And it's the song you can sing because God has given you a new heart and a new spirit. And God has made you a new creation. And so you're capable of singing this new song, the song of the redeemed. And you're the ones, you see, that can really learn the song and understand the song because God has given you a new heart to embrace Jesus Christ. Oh yes, others can sing the words, but you can sing more than the words. Is that not correct? You can sing from the depths of your heart and from your soul these words. And so these words, these songs, are not just songs. This new song is not just a song, but it's a song of the redeemed, a song that comes from the heart that has been renewed by the Spirit of God. It's the powered praise of God again, the Spirit-empowered praise of God. And so, as you go back to Revelation chapter 5 and verse 8, when he had taken the book and the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each one holding a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. When you read those words, friends, realize those are your prayers and these are your songs, these harps. And you're in the vision. You are there. And what this means is that these prayers and these songs, and you yourself are part of the unfolding plan of God. That's what that means. How many of you, when you pray, think about the will of God? And you pray, Lord, would you be pleased to do the following, if indeed it is your will? Or in your providence, Lord, would you be pleased, etc. And you pray that way. Why? You're acknowledging that your prayers are part of the plan. And God does not carry out his plan without your prayers and without your praise. This is how he's pleased to work. And again and again and again in the book of Revelation, we see this kind of construction. As the scroll is unrolled, the souls that are under the altar do what? Pray. How long, O Lord? Those prayers are part of the unfolding of the plans of God. And as the scroll is opened a little bit further, in the book of Revelation, chapter 14, what do we see? The praise of the people of God. And what is that praise? It is a part of the unfolding of the plans of God. And that's how God is pleased to work. In fact, I would say, he is using your prayers and your praise as part of the means to work out his plans. He's doing that. And so, dear friends, that's the point for the message this morning. Your prayers and your praise are part of the unfolding of the plans of God. Gladly enter into that prayer and that praise. Let's pray together now. Father in heaven, thank you for your word. How good you are to us. You have been pleased to catch us up into your purposes. And we are grateful. And we're grateful that we can acknowledge that this is the case. And so I pray that your people here will realize in an increasing way the grand significance of a simple thing like prayer and the grand significance of a simple thing like praise. And we pray together, Father, that as this is the case, we will gladly engage in these activities. Because as we do so, we will realize we are actually engaged in a part of the unfolding of your plans and purposes. Thank you that this is the case. In Jesus' name, amen.